the colorless Tsukuru Tsuzaki in this Years of Pilgrimage by Haruki Murakami. Which, you know, everyone has feelings about Murakami, which I do too, but like this one I read when I was an incredibly sad teenager, and the book is about an incredibly sad man. I was like, yes, he's me.
You're like, we see each other.
We see each other.
Yeah.
But it's so good because it's about this guy that like loses touch with his four friends. Well, they like shun him. They like, we don't want to be friends with you anymore.
And he's older. Is he older because you were a child, or is he like an actual old person?
He's actually kind of old. He was like, I think he's like mid-30s, so I guess old because I was a child. Old because I was a child.
Yeah, it was like, because you said like it was like an old man, I'm imagining like 70s.
No,
and then I was like,
actually, he's a middle-aged man. But like, right, they're childhood friends, and they've had this whole thing where like the characters and their name, like they could be shortened to be colors, and so like that's what their nicknames were, like Mr. Blue and Mr. Red and Miss White and Miss Black. But his name didn't do that. Like Tsukuru doesn't.
No, it can't.
Doesn't
be.
Shorten that way. Yeah. And his means like to make or something like that. And the story sort of takes you through their lives as their names sort of dictate, and like how that affected their futures and their fates a little bit too. Because he becomes an engineer, and Mr. Red, you know, he's kind of a hothead, like cool guy, like type of thing. But
was Mr. Blue depressed?
I don't remember. I think he was, actually.
Did he turn into the sky? Like, I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Where does that future lead?
No, literally. But he, like, goes to a different college than them. And one day he comes back and they won't talk to him. He's like, I thought we were supposed to hang out. Like, what's going on? They're, you know, screening his phone calls until someone finally picks up. And they're like, you have to stop calling us. We are not hanging out with you. We know what you did. And he's like, okay, I won't talk to you again. And so for 20 years.
But what did he do?
He doesn't ask. He doesn't ask until he's like on a date with this woman. And she has that same question where she's like,
what did you do?
Like, what did you do? Like, what you never wanted to know?
Reminds me of the Boondocks episode. Like, what did he do to make all these niggas so mad?
Oh, literally. And so she's wrapped up in it. And she's like, I will help you find these people so you can get the answers. And so the story is
about him. Because you need closure. You're not doing well.
Getting the answers.
Okay, wait, what did he do?
One of the girls, Miss White, I think, she had told them that he had assaulted her, but he didn't. She had been assaulted by someone else, and, like, in the trauma of it all,
she thought it was him.
Thought it was him.
Oh, my gosh.
And so they had hated him for that. He never knew, and he sort of gets his closure, but, like, she dies, and so he never gets to actually directly talk to her.
Oh my gosh. About
it either. It's just sort of passed around as he meets the rest of them. So yeah, it's
that sounds like actually a really good book. I should like read it. I should read it. There's an era where like I think my senior year in college and then the year after that where I started reading books that I either read as a child or I meant to.
Yeah.
Like The Giver. I was like,
oh my gosh,
I've read The Giver, but I was like, let me actually. And also The Giving Tree. Maybe it was just books that started with, that had giving. I needed something to give. yeah, I was like going back and like I reread some of my childhood like faves. Yeah. It was really cute.
Oh my gosh, no, I love doing stuff like that. Like I read this really fucked up book as a child that I was like I still have, and so I was like, let me reread it to see how it's still fucked up.
What book?
It's called Silent to the Bone. It's a children's book.
That name is chilling.
And it's about this kid who goes mute after his sister, there's an accident and she ends up in like a coma, and they're like, you did it, you have to tell us what happened. But he goes mute, so like they can't talk to him, and so it's his best friend. It's like trying to come up with a communication system to try to figure out what happened. Mm-hmm. And then he's like doing his own investigation along the way. And so he's, you know, talking to the babysitter and he's talking to the parents and they're coming up with codes until they finally figure out what happens. And then I think at the end he's
really
still
familiar
a little bit. But yeah.
Yeah, that sounds really familiar. I wonder if I read it. I don't remember.
I don't know.
I had like, Great Expectations when I was 11 years old.
What?
Didn't need to do that. I don't know who Charles or Dickens was. I found the book. I was like a younger sibling, and my siblings were like in high school when I was in elementary school.
Yeah.
I would steal their books.
Okay.
I read Yeah, like I read Othello for no reason, sixth grade. And like, I would read anything that they had. I also read some, I am right. I read like The Fountainhead and oh my stuff gosh. Like that. Thank God it turned out. Mixed reviews, but like, thank God it turned out somewhere okay. Because I was reading, like, yeah, I ended up reading three of Ayn Rand's books. And then I think I did my Googles and I was like, she a weird one. This book is not what I thought it was about. We did not take the same lessons. Yeah, I think being foreign and being a child really helped me because I would just ignore all of that. Like, all of her, like, I'd be like, that's mean. You shouldn't be so isolated, and the world should not be dependent on your individual interests, and like the collapse of society should not be fine if you're making money. But welcome to Are You New Pod? Hi, everybody. Hi. I'm Kalkidani Jamo, your host. Thank you for joining us today. And today I have the beautiful, my former neighbor, incredibly talented, all around cool babe, Skylar. You can share if you want your last name or not. I let the people decide.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't care. It's pretty basic. It's Murray.
What's up, Skylar Murray? Hello. Welcome.
No, that was such a nice intro. Like, oh my God.
No, you're so insanely talented. You're so cool. As Skylar and I lived in this really, really cute, adorable brownstone, me for many, many years with my roommate and her with her roommates. Yeah. And the building was so cute because we had a group chat with the name of the building.
Yeah.
And then it would like rain or storm and would be like, hey, like, you know, if you have flooding, you guys can come up to the third floor. And they're like, oh, yeah, if like lightning strikes the fifth floor, you guys could come down. Literally. It was really good. Or like, one of our neighbors would be like, hey, I'm coming from the airport and I ordered food. Can someone hold it? It's really adorable. Shout out.
I still miss that rooftop.
We had the cutest rooftop. And, by the way, cute, like, for us. Not in any way actually aesthetically cute.
No.
It was the top of a random brownstone. It wasn't meant to be a rooftop.
No. But someone used it up a little bit.
The gays that used to live on the second floor literally built that out for funsies. They put down, is it logs? What is it? They like put down like a planks.
Yeah.
Yeah, they put down planks and like raised it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they made little side seats for no reason. And then they ended up moving before they even got a real use of it. Like, they put up gardens. It was so adorable. And we took full advantage of that.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. We were talking before coming here. You went to GovBall.
Yes.
Are you a festival babe?
Honestly, no, but this year,
yes.
Maybe. Because like, I will be at Warped Tour this year, and I'm going to Lollapalooza.
Oh my, where? Lollapalooza, where?
Yeah, Lollapalooza's in Chicago.
Okay, cool.
So, So, go to Long Beach, have a day to myself, fly back to Chicago, party again. You know.
That's great. Okay, yeah, you're really having a festival. A concert. You know what? Last year was like that for me. It was like just like a concert summer.
Yeah.
I was at all the concerts, which is funny because I had seen like two live shows before of musicians. Very cute. Give me your top three GovBall performances. I know, strict, but tell me.
Okay. I really loved, obviously, Hozier.
Yes.
He was like, that was my main reason. I'm like, I gotta go see him. Absolutely.
So Hozier performed. He was so sick, you guys. His nose was fully red. You could see it from across. Oh. Yeah. And like, he was like, my whole band came down with like a virus. He had hot tea that he was chugging in between and then still trying to talk to us. His voice was gone. Mm-hmm. But somehow his singing voice, my God.
No, truly, like,
it was incredible.
Incredible.
Still, like, how? Yeah, I would have been hospitalized, unfortunately. Like, I simply would be like, I'm
like, I
so
just
sorry.
Know he crashed, like, after the show ended and they were back. Yes. He crashed, like,
so absolutely. Hard. The fact that he also has a monologue, I think, at most of his concerts where he, mm-hmm. like, talks about social activism and democracy and, like, free Palestine and all of that, right? he still gave it. It was like a 5-minute speech, mm-hmm. at least, like a 5 to 7 minute speech about like the importance of democracy and like movements and everything. He still, like, he made his voice clear somehow mm-hmm. for that moment. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I feel so bad because you must be dying. Like, your throat is screaming at you.
Literally.
Yeah.
But
he was great. He was great.
Big ups to Andrew. Love him. Like,
Andrew. Like,
other performances. I really loved T-Pain.
I didn't see T-Pain, but I'm so jealous because you got to see him do the twirl, right?
He did the twirl. He was so good.
I'm so happy for him. I love him.
It was so fun. And I'd been trying to go see T-Pain like all of last year. Like, he was in New York. He was like in New York like 3 times, could not go any single time. I was like, I will see him. I will see him. Like,
By force.
Like, I was up in the front. I'm like, I'm here.
That's so cute. I feel like he's such a fun performer. I haven't seen him, but like, he's T-Pain. He's a cutie patootie.
No, he was definitely having fun up there. And it was just such a great energy, too. Yes. I'm glad the crowd was like with it. Because, you know, sometimes you'll see like videos of like Coachella or like other concerts and like no one's dancing.
No, I really
hate. No
one's
having fun.
I take it so personally. Like, I'm so, I'm like, I know the performer probably doesn't take the shit personally, but I'm like, you're actually hurting my feelings. I'm pissed off because this is a banger.
Or even when they like get mad at you for dancing and having fun, I'm like,
what? Yeah, you get like a random side eye. Like, I'm like, oh my God, no, you're better. You're so cool. You're not moving anything. Wow. Because you're just so cool.
Yeah, like, it gets me tight. And I'm like, you can do that for T-Pain. And so luckily the people around me, like, they were great. They were vibing. And then my third.
Yeah.
Okay. It's kind of a tie between Olivia Rodrigo. Because I don't really listen to Olivia Rodrigo. Like, yeah. I'm not one of the
Rodrigo heads. I don't know what her fans are called. The olive tree, like.
Like, I had meant to listen to her album before we went, so, like, I had a couple songs in my pocket.
Yeah.
But, like, it was still such a fun show. I was like, wait, like, maybe actually I should listen.
I heard it was really good. Yeah.
Really,
I heard her performance was so much fun.
I was like, ooh, okay. Like, maybe I should tune in. Like, maybe you guys are onto something.
Yeah.
So, a tie between her and Royal Otis. I don't know if you've heard of them.
I hadn't. And then they were performing, and I was like, oh my God, I would have had a crush on that lead singer when I was 15 years old. I would have ate that up.
Oh, absolutely.
Ate that up. But they were so good. I was going to say, I'm like, the white boys are bad.
Okay, this was...
that was your series on Instagram. I was like, no, they really are back.
I'm like...
The white boys are creating bands again, boys.
Like... And that's what we needed, I think.
We did. Society did need, because they were getting involved into activities that were just dark. Like, they were fully going into the dark arts.
Like, please lose your SoundCloud login, put down the like bass drum machine, like
put down the podcast mic.
Literally pick up guitar, please, find a garage, please.
Three of your closest friends.
Like, you don't even have to sound that great.
You
like,
don't. You actually
it's
don't.
It's not the, like,
it's the necessary. Yeah.
But that's, it really was that weekend where it was just like, it was really good for indie. It was really good for rock.
It really was.
Like, one of my favorite bands, or my new favorite bands, mm-hmm. Is Dog Park.
Ooh.
And they're kind of like, they're low level. They were like super early on the set list on Friday. God,
that's so cute.
But like, they're doing the... I think they're on tour. They're kind of doing the festival circuit too. And I'm like, this is what we need. Because it's just a group of white boys.
Yeah.
Just with their guitars, with their drums. And it's like, I've been needing this. I'm like, who is my 2020s Weezer? They might be it. You heard it here first. Dog Park.
Groundbreaking. Dog Park, like, quack, breaking news.
I know.
I will listen to them.
No, the music is so good.
Yeah.
Like, I got hooked. Immediately.
Amazing. Because I had also not heard of, like, Mountjoy.
You know what? Me neither. But my friend loved them. And then everyone in the crowd going crazy mm-hmm. for them. I was like, damn, I didn't know they had hitters like that.
No, I was like, oh my God.
But it was such a good show.
Like, it was very cute. Then, mind you, I called them Mountain of Joy. And then I was calling Royal Oats the Otis Boys. And that's just my name for them. Literally the whole day, I was like, I really like those Otis Boys. To the point that I, like, was trying to look them up on Spotify. I was like, I don't think it's the oldest boy. Like, I feel like that might have been a work of my imagination. Yeah. No, there was a lot of, like, really good indie performances.
Yeah. I was surprised. Yeah. Happily.
Yeah.
I'm like...
The crowd was also just, like, really cute and adorable. So many babies.
So many children.
Which also makes me happy because, yes, get them outside the house. I just am very pro any... At this point in life, I'm pro most activities that are getting people to interact, to socialize with each other, because we don't have to. Essentially, we live in a world where that could just, like, go away.
Yeah.
And then, like, deal with the tension of being with other people, like, being around strangers and navigating that, you know? Mm-hmm. It's good. It's healthy for society. So, go live shows.
Truly.
Also, mostly. Everybody, do go to live shows. It's really cool. It's, like, life-affirming. It's very cute.
No, it really is. When it was from raining during the Wallows, I, like, the most alive I've ever felt. I'm like, last time you're like, maybe.
Wow. It's the first time I actually felt a feeling since the pandemic.
Really? Like, that was great.
Amazing. Shout-outs to Honorable Mention. I didn't see Tyler, the Creator, but I heard his set was really good from some friends. And then Ray... You blew me away. I love you so much. Heart, you were my favorite. Yeah, really good. I only went to the Sunday show. Yeah. And shout outs to the oldest boys and the mountains of joy. We love the white boys picking up a drumstick. Stay in that lane, actually. Okay, cool. And today's topic, we're here for first time experiences. Sky's going to tell us about her first writing fellowship.
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, how recently was this?
Oh my God, like literally so recent.
2 days ago.
The fellowship started, I think, in April.
Okay.
And it was 6 weeks long.
Okay.
And then we concluded with a live reading at the end, which was literally like 2 weeks ago.
Okay. I saw like an excerpt video. Maybe I can tag it to this actually if you want to send it to me.
Yeah.
I can absolutely add it to the end of the podcast. Okay. So how did you... Would you describe yourself as a writer?
I would. I'm trying to use that title more.
You should.
When I introduce... Or not introduce myself to people, but when they're like, oh, what do you do and what do you like? And I'm like... Yeah. I'm a writer. Like
you are a writer.
You know, trying to put that out into the universe, make sure that's acclaimed and manifested for myself.
Yes.
So yes, I think I would describe myself as a writer.
I agree. You are a writer. Yeah. I had to like, I learned that early on. I don't know. I think I was like maybe in theater class or whatever where we were talking and the conversation was like, somebody was like, oh yeah, like I am pursuing like acting and like I'm trying to be an actor, whatever. Mm-hmm. And there was, I think it was Scott, there was a teacher, maybe Scott Reed, who was like, no one is gonna give you that title. Mm. You have to give yourself, like, you are an actor because that is what you do. And like, also maybe Caroline, I forgot exactly which teacher, but like, and then I realized from that, I was like, yeah, that's so true. It's not like you get a number of roles and then that's what makes you an actor. Yeah. And it's the same with writing, like any creative thing. If that's the thing you do, that's what you're passionate about. And that's what you're pursuing. That's what you are. Like, there is no honor that somebody's going to bestow on you with the title. So no, yeah,
that's so true, honestly. And I know it's one of those things too, where like, I've always have been interested in writing too, like as a kid. Like I was one of those people that, or one of those kids that, you know, I had a different job I wanted to do like every couple weeks. Mm-hmm, but the thing that stayed the same was that I'd be like, oh, like I want to be a computer scientist and an author. Mm-hmm. I want to be a doctor and an author. I'm like, I could just write a book while I'm doing whatever. Like that's chill.
That seems very cool and chic. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I'm going to be a neurosurgeon. And an author.
Literally, like I would carry around a notebook with like my little story ideas and like characters and things too, where I was just like, yeah, like that's honestly why I got into journalism. I was like, okay, how do I do writing? Mm-hmm. How do I get paid for it though?
Because like I haven't heard too many things about how you make money in this. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So how did you come across this fellowship program?
Instagram.
Oh.
No, literally.
What is it called?
It's Writers Club New York.
Okay.
So they do monthly meetups and like monthly meetings. And this is their first like
fellowship
cohort.
Got
spring,
it.
Like salon thing. This is their first time trying it out. And I had been following them on Instagram for a while to like, you know, work myself up into like going to one of the meetings, actually. Like, I had never been to any of their events. But then I saw their post where they're like, hey, we're accepting submissions and like applications for this thing. I was traveling. I was like on my iPad trying to like fill out my thing and like edit my like excerpt and everything to like submit.
And what did you have to submit? Were you submitting something that you would be working on for the fellowship?
Yeah, that was part of it where it's like it has to be something that you're currently working on.
Yeah.
10 to 15 pages.
Mm-hmm. Screenplay, play, like a regular play. Was there any requirement?
It was like it could be short stories, it could be a novel that you're working on, it could be poetry.
Anything
like that. It just had to hit the page requirements for things.
Got it.
And it was actually really surprising. A lot of the people that got accepted were working on novels. I think there were only a couple people working on short stories.
Okay.
This one, which I don't know. I feel like whenever I hear like cohorts or fellowships, like I feel like people are mostly working on short stories.
Because it's something you can get accomplished in within that time period.
Like, leave with like a completed piece and like that feels, you know, validating and fulfilling in that sense. But so there's so many people like... or novels, and I was like, yay, like I love that.
And what was yours? Was it a short story or a novel?
It's a novel.
Skylar, that's amazing.
I'm so excited.
That's so cool.
I think short stories are so hard to write. Honestly.
Yeah. I think in the same way, because I think in long form. Yeah. I don't even like I had a hard time with TikTok because I was I don't like consuming short form things.
Yeah.
I prefer TV shows over films because you stay with character. And my favorite form of storytelling is books because it's the longest period I feel like I spend with characters. So I get it. Like, so people who can like do a complete story in a short story form, I'm like, wow.
Like, how did you do that?
My brain. Couldn't be me. Yeah. Okay. So you're doing a novel. Was it something that you'd been thinking about for years, or was this something that like you started working on more recently, like the idea for the novel?
For this one, for the piece I submitted, was more recent. Like, there's a couple ideas or things almost being written simultaneously a little bit, with one of them being something that like this is an idea I've had for years, like since high school, that I kind of always wanted.
Yeah.
But this one was more recent. And was sparked by actually sort of a short story I wrote in high school too. You know, like your junior year, senior year, we would do like vocab words for like SAT, ACTs. My like English teacher would have us do like free writes using whatever our vocab word of the day was.
That's actually really cute.
It was really nice. And so the novel is sort of an iteration of that old piece, because like I remember I was just thinking of like, okay, like I want something new, like I know I have this idea from the back of my head that I've always wanted to work on, but like maybe I need something new to just get the juices flowing. And I'd remembered I had that story like saved in my Google Drive like way back
go back to the emails from so many months ago.
And I found it and I reread it and I was like, ooh, this definitely sounds like
I was in high school.
Right. It definitely sounds like I wrote this in 15 minutes. But the core of the story I thought was still really interesting.
Yeah.
Where I think our vocab word was absolution.
Okay, absolution.
Absolution.
We love.
Truly.
Yeah.
And so it was about this man who was an alcoholic. He was kind of a drunk. He gets kicked out of a bar at the end of the night. And, you know, it's dark and there's no one around. And he sees this girl kind of just sat under the streetlight. She is alone. Looks like she needs help. Mm-hmm. And he's like, maybe this can be the one good thing I do or one good thing I have in my life kind of thing.
Yeah.
And he like helps this girl, and unbeknownst to him though is that she's testing him. That she's this like
it's
entity.
Giving hidden camera.
Literally.
She's an entity, okay. She's like a spirit.
Yeah. To see if he actually is a good person or not.
Yeah.
But you know, he starts patronizing her and he's misogynistic and he gets kind of scary and his like drunkenness and everything.
I thought he would go hell.
No.
Oh my God.
No.
That sounds like dating in New York.
And like they're walking and they're like talking during this whole thing as she's like trying to know him, and they end up at this like high school like football field, and she's like, okay, we've reached the end now. And he's like, what are you talking about? Like, what's going on? And she's like, you haven't shown me that you could be a good person. You haven't shown me your true character, or you've shown me your true character, and I don't think you have
it's terrible.
You have the ability to change. And she's like, what? Like, he's so confused, and he's all this, and his wife comes from behind the bleachers.
As they do. And he's like, wives come from bleachers all the time.
Exactly.
Yes.
And she's like, oh, I prayed that you would like get better for us. His wife and daughters. Like, and it never did. And finally, some God heard my answers. And it's the woman that's been testing him this whole time. She's some, I don't know, but like, But like, someone finally answered my prayers. And she said she would help me.
Yeah.
And she would test you to see if you really could be a better person. And you haven't shown that. And so he starts crying. And he's like, no, I swear I'll be better. Like, I'll stop the gambling. I'll stop the drinking. Like, I'll be there for you guys. Mm-hmm. And this is where the entity is like, no, your tears do not absolve you. Me using my vocab word.
You see that? I was waiting for it. I was like, where's the absolution? She said, your tears will not absolve you. Cheers.
And so she kills him, obviously.
Oh.
Okay. And then this goddess demon entity is like, you know, well, don't forget your end of the deal. Like, I'll be back in a couple of years. And like, that's where
the story ends.
To the wife?
To the wife.
And that's where the story ends.
That's juicy. I like it. I mean, I guess RIP to that man. That man met the end he was going to meet.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's really good.
Thank you. I'm like, wait, like, this is kind of
sad. There's
like,
something here.
There's something here. And so it's sort of became like the new iteration of it is this exploration of this dad and daughter relationship.
Okay.
I always like to pitch it as sort of like, you know, when you're like 12, you're 13, mm-hmm. like you're the precipice of like child into like teenageness, yes. adulthood almost, or not adulthood really, but like, you know.
But teenageness, like you're like a self-awareness in a real way. Yeah.
And, you know, as a kid, you idolize your parents, right? Like you love them, they can do no wrong, they're your superheroes. But then you get to that age where you start being self-aware and you kind of know the world, and like you realize that they're kind of just people.
Yeah.
And they might be people with flaws.
Yeah.
And they make mistakes and they might be bad people. And
they might.
You have to sort of come to terms with like that previous version
yes.
of them in your heads with like what you know now. And so that story kind of takes place
in that space. Wow. That sounds, I think that's the thing, like, that awakening around that time, it's when you realize, it's around, you know, like, you realize the first step is that your teachers have a life outside of the school, because for so much of your childhood, the teachers only exist in the school, and then, like, there's a moment where you're like, huh, my teacher has a life. I saw her at the grocery store. That was jarring. She eats food. That's wild. And then it takes like a couple more years where you're like, my parents, huh? Mm-hmm. There's some things there. I'm not sure. Yeah. Are they the best people?
No, literally. And so the main character, she kind of goes through that. It's the summer between like middle school and her starting high school.
Oh, wow.
And her dad.
So she's like 13.
Yeah, she's like 13. And her, you know, her parents are kind of separated. Mm-hmm. The dad's a drunk. He's kind of a mess. He's like kind of absent.
Mm-hmm.
But he meets this woman and he starts to change. But then these things are like haunting him. He feels kind of cursed, and she's the only one noticing, right? She can see ghosts, and so she can tell that there's something wrong with this woman that's come into his life. And so it's kind of up to her on if she saves him.
Okay, cool.
You know, like, can she do it?
Mm-hmm.
Does she want to? Does he deserve to be saved?
The moral dilemma of a 13-year-old.
Yeah, like where you're like kind of old enough to recognize that there's something wrong here, but you don't know if you can actually fix it.
Yeah.
If it's something that is up to you to fix too, like that questioning. So like that's kind of where
that's the really story cool. Now. Okay. Oh wow. I'm excited for you to finish it. It sounds amazing. Okay, so the fellowship program was 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys meet in person?
We did. We would meet in a little like
cafe
workspace. It was like a community workspace in Chinatown. Every
once
Monday.
A week? Yeah. Okay, cute.
Every Monday. And the goal of like the fellowship too, right? You come in with your piece. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that like by the end of the 6 weeks, you have this chapter or so, like right where you want to. And so we started. For me, I had the prologue to my novel that I really wanted to get down packed. Like I like beginnings. And so like I really like to have the beginnings. Same. Like
I always loved like essay writing. Yeah. My introduction is always 8
Yes.
The number of times part. I didn't have a conclusion. I literally cannot believe. I was like in AP Lang and Lit. The number of papers I fully was like, and that's the end. It's over because I'm stopping the sentence now. And like still got away with it somehow because my introduction was so strong. Carried the whole essay.
No, like I was, you know, because teachers, they would tell you too. They're like, oh, you can just come back because then you'll, like, after you've written it, because you know what should be in there. And I'm like, no.
The introduction, I actually can't come back.
Like, no, the introduction, that is my outline. That is my plan. Like, that has to be
Chef's
good
kiss.
First yeah, before I can do anything else.
I know people who would, like, have a conclusion before they had anything else. Like, and I'm like, not to the end you want to go. I don't even know where I'm going.
I don't know where I'm
I'll
going
I'll be
yet.
Michael Scott. Like, sometimes I start a sentence, and I just hope I get there. Yeah, like, no. Introductions are, it's like universe building.
Yeah, yeah.
That is those are the bones.
It's the bones. So, like, it sets the tone for the whole thing. And so, like, I really wanted my prologue to feel complete and, like, it sort of preps the reader for what kind of comes next. So, like, it had the prologue and it had the first couple pages of, like, the first chapter was my excerpt that we worked on.
Okay.
And so, like, that was my goal, was, like, does this make sense starting here with this almost omniscient narrator, fairy tale-esque vibe to it? And then we switch to a different perspective where, like, you're following the daughter and, like, does this transition work? Is what I wanted to work on. And so, like, that's what my feedback was geared towards, right? Ooh. It wasn't just, oh, like, I like this or I didn't like this. It was, oh, okay, I see what you're trying to do here. Maybe we could do it this way so that it gets to the tone and the vibe that you
want.
Where you want to go. Which was really delightful because I was so, I was so nervous.
Yes. So nervous. So was that the first time you were, like, sharing, like, actual writing work with a group of people?
Yeah.
Because I was going to say, like, going into it, what were your, like, fears, but also what were you, like, excited about?
Yeah, I mean, like, I was, like, I've shared my writing with my friends,
yeah,
of course, just to be like, hey, yeah, like, what's this sound like? And then, like, my friends are creative people too, and, like, the other arts, which is, like, really nice, and, like, I know that they'll always tell me what they like and they don't like, but sometimes I get worried that
you're lying to me, aren't you?
You're lying to me. I'm like, you're my friend, so you're kind of, like, obligated to, like, not be as direct.
Yeah, exactly. Or, like, we're, like, massaging the truth of, like, there's a level of, like, it's not worth hurting your feelings. So, you could just be like, it's okay.
Yeah, truly. Yeah. So I was just like, ooh, like, these are strangers. They don't really owe me anything. Like, I don't think they'll necessarily be mean, but, like, they, you know, there's nothing in it for them to butter me up.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
About it. So, like, I was kind of nervous about that, about getting, like, real true feedback. But I thought that was also exciting because I'm like, I've never had that before.
Yeah.
And same with just having a group of people who are writing.
Working on.
And doing the thing that I want to do. Like, like I said, my friends are all creative people, but, like, you know, they want to do screenplays or, like, work in TV, or, like, they're more painting and ceramics. And so, like, it was really exciting, the thought of having, you know, a little community, a little group of, like, of writers where I could say,
hey,
oh, man, this sentence is doing blah, blah, blah. And, like,
they'll be like, ah.
They'll, like, they'll understand and they'll be like, oh, actually, this is what I do. And I'm like, wow, okay, cool.
What? Okay, so within that, like, was there, like, unexpected things that you found, you learned either about yourself whilst doing this or from other writers whilst being in the fellowship?
Oh, yeah. I think one of the things that, I don't know if I learned it necessarily. I guess it kind of reaffirmed it that, like, My favorite part kind of is the editing. Also, my
liking editing is a bold and brave.
I know.
Choice.
But like also, you know, shout out to my like journalism background, because like that was also okay, my favorite part too, was like editing the pieces more so than writing them.
This is polar. I should not be left alone if I write anything to edit it. I will delete the entire thing. I will read a sentence that makes me angry and I'm like, this entire thing has to dissolve from existence. Like, I have to make it so it has never existed. Because why would I put two sentences together like that? Yeah. And so, like, I'm fascinated by people who, like, locked into the editing and who enjoy that process.
Because there's a balance you kind of have to strike where you're like, you don't want to change someone's story, yeah, right? But you want to make it make sense or show them where it could go.
Yeah.
And so, like, I like that the sort of puzzle piece of it, of like, oh, let's move this paragraph here, actually. Or like, ooh, maybe we need to expand here that I really like.
Mm-hmm. And you could apply it to yourself.
And you apply it to myself.
Because I think the beauty of what you're saying now is like, you're taking judgment just out of the equation. Like, that's not what it is. And I think a lot of people have a hard time looking at their own work or even other people's work with an eye of like, this is a puzzle. It's not like a good or bad. It's just thing that gets worked on and sorted and refined. Kind of like like working with gems, you know? Mm-hmm. You're just like, oh, this is rough and we're going to figure it out. And so, yeah, the fact that you can apply that to your own work without being
I think that was really helpful because I know the saying is like, your first draft is not going to be your best draft, right? The first draft is always going to be like the worst thing you've ever written, but you just have to complete it. But I get so stuck on like making sure it's good.
What if the first draft was the perfect draft and then we can figure it out?
No, because like I used to not edit anything. I was also like essays in like high school and this. I'm like, I would procrastinate so bad that I wouldn't have time to edit. I would just have to like write it and submit it. And then they would do well. So like I never got like the repercussions.
Same.
To force me literally to change my ways.
Exactly. I was rewarded for my terrible behavior.
My terrible behavior.
Yes.
So like I never really gotten into a good place on doing that with my own work. It's just kind of like, this is what it is. So like I've got to do it as I'm writing it.
Yeah.
I can't just write and have it be back. But being in a space where like that's all we're doing, it's just going back and relooking and working. I was like, oh shit, okay, like
it teaches you that discipline.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool. And then working with other people, you said that like it was really cool to be in space where everyone is kind of pursuing the same kind of art. Having people's perspective and like other people's opinion, was that overwhelming at some point, or was it just like, this is all helpful? Because I think it also, like, there's a level of discernment you have to have where you don't let so much influence your work. So how did you navigate that?
Yeah, it definitely was a little overwhelming. 'Cause, like, at the most, like, I maybe let three like three other people read anything I'd written before.
And so how many people were this?
I think there was 8 of us total. Yeah. And then there were 2 like facilitators, like people like running it. And they would also give feedback too. So I had signed up for like the first week to like go and get everything read, which I was just like, let me get it out of the way. Like, let me know.
Yeah.
Because if I let it sit, like I'm going to work myself up into like a nervous mess.
Yeah.
So like, let's just get it out of the way. And so it was a little overwhelming because like we were kind of going around the table being like, oh, like I like this piece and this is but like actually listening to them talk through it and like also it was a discussion too, right? It wasn't just this is what I like or don't like and this is what you need to do. It's kind of you know, like, oh, like, where are we going here? Like, what's going on there? That I could, like, explain to them my thought process, too. And they can be like, oh, okay, knowing that, maybe you could do this to, like, make that more clear or do this, da, da, da. So, like, as the conversation kept going, it was a lot easier. What got really overwhelming was getting everyone's, like, because we would do, like, printouts so people could, like, make Mark edits it. And, like, write and annotate. And so that was really overwhelming, like reading their thoughts.
Yeah. And well, you really shared your full opinion.
But like it didn't have anyone's names on it either. So you can't like.
Oh, the anonymous.
Yeah. So like you can't like attach it to other people either. And it really is just a, like, okay, like this is what it is.
This is the work. I'm so nosy. I'd be trying to figure out people's handwritings. Yeah. I'd be like, oh, so you don't want. Okay. That's cool.
But with that, because when it came down to like submitting my final piece for like the live reading and everything, I really took the time to go through everyone's annotations sort of like page by page, write them all out, see where the
commonality.
Yeah, like what things kept popping up in people's feedbacks to know what I should work on. And then it made it easier to digest too for like what things I wanted to take in and what things I wanted to not take in. Where I'm like, I can see your point and what you're trying to say here, but like, I believe it's necessary for whatever reason. And this is my story.
So and this is my story.
I'm going to do that.
So, yeah. No, that's a, yeah, that's a really smart
and so way to it was, do it. It was a little overwhelming, but like, the more I read through everyone's thoughts and the more we talked, like, around the table, it got a lot easier.
You know? Like, there are people who have fantastic ideas who are not great at writing them out.
Yeah.
I think figuring that out is also...
No, that's so real. Because it really is, it's, I like the craft and like the technique aspect of writing too, which that was something we had a conversation about during our like fellowship too, was that like, there's so many people who want to be like vibey writers, you know?
Like
everything's all atmospheric. It's almost stream of consciousness-esque. And it's just like, it's for the vibes more than anything. But like, I love really... getting into a book and seeing a writer use a certain technique and like being able to call that out and be like, whoa, where I like, it's, I mean, I love a good vibey book and like contemporary.
Actually, I read so much romance. Of course, I love a good vibey. You know what I mean?
But it's so nice to get into a book that's kind of meaty and like it's clear that like the writer themselves care about literature and like truly the craft of writing. Like, I think there's something so interesting about that that like not as many people do anymore.
Yeah.
Or it's harder to get unless you're really in the trenches of like books and like publishing world.
Unless you're really in the book scene.
Unless you're really in the book. Yeah. Like,
I think
book talk
like,
around here. No, I'm kidding. But
one of my favorite writers is Chimamanda Ngozi because she loves writing. It comes out in her essays. It comes out in her novels. Like, you can tell this is somebody who is, like, who has studied the skill and, like, values the skill and, like, brings that skill. And, like, every word feels so intentional. Every structure, like, sentence structure feels so intentional. And, like, it's beautiful and it's elegant and purposeful. And that's, like... that's so cool. Like, that's so important. That's so important. And, like, the vibey writers, like, what's her name? Colleen Hoover. Vibes. Hey, no. Girl, you know you're a vibey writer. Do you think they know? Do you think vibey writers know they're vibey? Do you think they don't know? Do you not know? You don't know?
I think they don't know. Or, like, that's the thing where it's, like, I love a good fan fiction.
Yes.
And I think there are some fan fiction writers that are like,
decent.
They care about the craft, they care about the writing. And then I think there's some that are just, they like the topic. So they wrote what they wanted to write. And then we have published authors who are very much the same, where they had an idea and they liked it. And so they're like, okay, we'll
write
it.
And somebody liked, and they're, because at the end of the day, there will be an audience for that.
There will be,
So, Which to say, I mean, I think in a way that's beautiful, right? Like both can exist.
Yeah.
We're not sat here being like, don't be a vibey writer, because that's also, that also serves a purpose.
Because I love a story that kind of goes nowhere, says nothing. I love a movie.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Says nothing, again, goes nowhere. Like, truly.
There is an audience. It is necessary. Because it's really not everyday academics. It's not everyday literature.
No.
Yeah. So the vibey writers have a place. I think I will say, though, we have too many. I think, like, I don't, it's too disproportionate.
Mm.
And that's fine, too. We need to tackle it. I understand that we have an entire generation of people who can't read. The vibey writing is not helping that situation because that also, it lacks the necessity of critical thinking.
Mm.
I feel like I'm on my soapbox. But, like, it's okay. It is what it is. Again, I read predominantly vibey writers.
And I only say that, or like bring it up to say, is that like when I think of myself as a writer and like think of my like childhood dream to be a writer, like I want to be someone that like, I don't know, like I want them to read my books like in schools. Like, yes. I want people to be like, oh wow. Like,
yeah, you want to be in the English classes.
I want to be in the English classes.
Honors English, imagine. Right? Yeah. Because those are the, like, that's how you probably, like, fell in love with writing.
Yeah, no, literally. And there's something about, I know, being able to string a sentence together that's, like, so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's that I could never really do speaking-wise. Like, yeah. I'm not, like, the best talker by any means. Like, writing was always, like, my outlet. Like, I could always write better than I could, like, think or say whatever it is that's on my mind. And so, like, being able to have that in a more, I guess, professional, very, like, technical
way
feels, I don't know, it feels rewarding or it feels, like, fulfilling. To be
Did
like,
you journal when you were growing up a lot?
No. So I was a problem child because I would still not use my words in that way.
I refused. I said my emotions will never be traced. You can't find them. It only lives inside me and you wouldn't understand.
No, literally. Me and my therapist talk about this a lot.
You're such an evil kid. It's so funny. It's so funny. It's great though.
It's great material now.
Great material now. No. Like, as a, oh my God. Like, as a, having a teen like that. I don't know what I would do because I speak so much. So if I had a child that just was like not talking, I'd be like, hey man, you got to say something. Like, in a journal, you can paint how you're feeling. Like, you need to do something because... Are you okay? Yeah.
No,
but you had, like, just writing as an outlet.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I'd come out with my essays, and teachers would be like, are you okay, sweetie? Yeah. And I'd be like, yeah, what are you talking about?
Oh, my God. Like, yeah, this is just, like, so random. I just thought of it.
It's like, this creative writing piece was actually kind of scary.
Okay, we're just going to call a few people. You're doing so good, though. Don't worry about it. Yeah. And I think, like, we were just talking about the books you're interested in. Even that, like, makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Even the story you're writing, it's, you know, like, it kind of touches on, there's a self-isolation theme in the things that you were, like, drawn to, where, like, a lot of internal conflict, rather.
Oh, yeah. Like, I think the pieces that I'm kind of working on or that I am workshopping, I see them as sort of not autobiographical by any sense, because they're obviously fiction and there's there's a lot of supernatural elements in like the pieces that I want. But like the feelings that the characters are expressing are ones I very much have gone felt. Through. And like this is almost me resolving them.
Yes.
Like, right. It feels... Like a cathartic, right? Yes. To write it out in that way and be like, oh, this is how the story ends, whether or not that's how it ended for me in terms of feelings.
It's like meditative.
Yeah.
Of like experience. Yeah. That's really like that. It reminds me a lot. You've read A Wrinkle in Time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Your story it's because it's a father-daughter like conversation. Reminds me a lot of that. One of my favorite books, actually. From that era. So well done. Shout outs to Madeline Lingle. I actually loved so many of her books.
Yeah.
She raised me.
Oh.
You wouldn't think I was raised by white women, but here I am. Yeah. I see like the theme. But like it's also cool because you have such a clear voice because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Which is also, I feel like, something writers struggle with, is finding that voice. Or like choose, making a strong choice.
I would like to say that's always been my strong suit with writing, is that I want it to feel believable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think when I first considered like, oh, I could be a writer, and then authorship was like in high school, one of my teachers, he had proposed like an independent study,
mm-hmm.
where the whole course would be me writing the first chapter of this book, because we'd been talking about, I don't know, some story I'd read on Wattpad. But, you know, sometimes authors, they'll publish excerpts.
Yes. They would.
Sites like that.
Yes.
And so I was reading one of those books where it actually became like a real book.
Yeah. I've read a couple of those, actually.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I would read it on Wattpad, not understand, and then like read it. Like, I'll check out a couple years later from a library or whatever. And I'm like, am I having deja vu? I swear.
I know this.
Like, yeah. A few things have changed, but I swear I know this.
No, literally, I had read that. And when I finished, I was like, oh, wait, like, this teacher, I'm like, I think this would be really cool. And like, this is the type of thing we should teach in class, or we should talk about in class. And so I sent him the link.
I'm dead.
To this piece.
I'm dead.
Email comes back. It's like, I'm on vacation. I'll be back. Blah, blah, blah. I'm
okay,
like,
okay, cool. That's cool.
But then he emailed me back. And he's like, oh, like, I'll take a read. Like, this is interesting. Like, thank you. I'm like, okay, nice. And he emailed me back. And he's like, whoa, like, this is a really interesting story. And so now we're talking about like the book. And he's like, you know what? You have like a very, he's like, do you write? Like, do you, are you interested in writing? Because like the way you write in your emails is very like, there's a voice here. Like, there's a tone here that's like very interesting. And I'm like, yes, like, I'm glad you could tell.
Thank
actually.
You. Yeah.
Me also in love with said English teacher, but like, that's a different story.
Okay, yeah, it's okay. Like, I had a psych teacher. Oh my God, I can't say that.
Literally. And then what was actually really terrible, like, this is like not funny, but like very darkly funny, is that like at the end of the summer, like right before like next school year started, they had sent a letter home to all the parents being like, we have to inform you that like a teacher has been having a very inappropriate relationship with like a student. And I'm like, oh my gosh, they saw our emails. They saw our emails.
God.
It's out there. Mind you, we're talking about books.
What do you mean?
We're talking about books.
I mean, to be fair, it was Wattpad. So like, was it appropriate? I don't know. Links were exchanged.
Links were exchanged.
That's crazy word. Scott, they're like stressed out. Like, oh my God, like, I don't want this for him. It wasn't. It's my fault. Please free him.
No, truly. I was like, oh my gosh, like, I can't believe I've ruined this man's life. Like,
oh my God. And it wasn't him.
It wasn't him. It was an actual creep of a man that luckily ended up in prison. Honestly, too late, but like, they got him
eventually.
Oh my
gosh.
I
feel like so many people have that. We kind of had that in middle school. There was a creep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, cool. Thank you so much. That was great. Okay, wait. So you did the fellowship. You had the reading. Were you nervous about the reading?
Oh my God. Yeah.
Not you were shaking and throwing up.
No, literally in my boots, shaking. Like,
Did you invite friends?
Yeah, they gave us a couple free tickets.
Cute.
And then we could just send the link to whoever. Mm-hmm. It was a very small space. We did it right at like Dear Friends Books and in Bed-Stuy.
Oh.
They've got a cute little backyard space where like they set up everything. But I was
so
nervous.
Shout out to Dear Friends and Bed-Stuy.
No, literally so cute.
So cute.
But I was so nervous. I was like, ooh, this is already a lot to like let some strangers who eventually became friends.
Yeah. But we were in this together at least.
Like a couple other people had never done public readings either. So like they were also nervous, and like I found comfort in that anxiety there too. But I don't know, I was a drama kid. Theater
kid, thespian, if you will.
You know, I took a couple acting classes like a couple years ago. I was like, I will get through this.
I can disassociate long enough to make through this reading.
Literally. But it was actually really fun. Like, I was nervous. I was really hoping that my voice wasn't going to shake.
Yeah.
Either, because that's really like
And from the clip I saw, your voice wasn't shaking.
Thank you. Right? Yes. I was like, wow.
It sounded really beautiful.
Yeah, like I think the last time I did any sort of like public speaking in like that capacity was high school graduation. Me and this girl, we got tapped to write this like poem dedicated to our
high school?
To our class.
Aww.
And everything. And so we had to perform it.
You've been a writer for so long. Yeah. So long.
And all I remember for that, like, I think I blacked out, honestly.
Yeah.
Because all I remember is, like, starting and, like, being on stage. And then suddenly I'm, like, back towards my seat. And I'm falling into my seat because my legs are shaking so bad. And my friend's like, are you okay? And I'm like, I will be. I will
be. We'll see. Wow. Okay. That's amazing. Yeah. From the clip I saw, your voice was thuddy. It sounded really incredible. I'm so glad I got to know more about, like, what the actual story is about. Yeah. It sounds so exciting. And I can't wait till you continue to, like, work on it and one day get it published. I think it's... would be really neat. Is it more like a, it's a YA?
I get, yeah. It falls into that like weird category of like, it is about a teenager.
Yeah.
In a sense. But I think the themes overall are pretty mature, but I think it would technically be,
it would be
a YA.
Because there was some dark themes in the YAs. A Great on Terrible Beauty. I don't know if you ever read it. Mm-mm. Great book. Had me sobbing though. A lot. That series was really good. Okay, cool. Well, I can't wait till one day it's out in the universe.
Oh, yes.
And send me the video because then I'll see that. Okay, to that end, instead of playing a game today, I'm actually going to have you give a recommendation for three books.
Oh,
that
my God.
You could be, again, you can look at your little list of faves.
My list of faves?
Skylar keeps a list of her favorite like movies and like,
no, it's literally, like, I need you to see how long this is.
Oh,
it's
my
like,
gosh. Is it just your music?
It's music.
Oh, my God. Like, wait, artists. Can you give us three from the all three, whatever categories you have?
And okay, then we've got movies.
Okay.
Which I always say I love a bad movie, a sad movie, and documentaries.
Those okay. Are my, that's your like, genre.
Those are my, a
bad
genre. Movie.
Bad, sad, doc.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Bad, sad, doc. So I think top three movies of like all time.
Yes.
I really love Annie, the 1982 version.
Yes.
Little Orphan Annie.
Oh my God.
Carol Burnett.
Wait, I forgot there was a new one. Yeah.
Yeah.
We shout out to, you know, Black Annie.
I mean, like, right, we love Black Annie, cool. But like.
Yeah, you know.
Give me the little white girl.
Yeah, she ate that. She really she did. Like, that. The hair alone. Shout out to Daddy Warbucks.
Shout out to Daddy Warbucks.
Okay. Orphan Annie. That's so fucking random. Because, wait, low-key though, I loved Oliver Twist. I was an Oliver Twist babe.
Ooh, really?
I loved Oliver Twist. I don't know why. Do you know what I mean? Me yeah. And Oliver Twist had nothing in common at that era. But I was like, oh my God, I get him.
They're truly.
Yeah.
My other one, American Honey.
American Honey.
Yeah, that's with Sasha Lane. Riley Keough and unfortunately Shia LaBeouf.
Okay.
It's also very
I've not seen it.
Really, it's kind of a really long movie, but it's this sort of road trip
movie. Yes, across, I remember like, the Midwest. When they were making it because there was a whole controversy with Shia LaBeouf, to no one's surprise. Yes.
Where this girl, she's like taking care of her siblings a little bit. She's like, oh, half white, half black, and her parents and or her mom and like her siblings are really white, and so she feels left out, and they're in the South, and so she ends up joining this traveling magazine sales team of like other
random.
Just really random down their luck kids. And it's kind of about her becoming an adult and like finding herself kind of across the Midwest. And I think it's really interesting because like the director isn't American, like they're European.
Okay.
And so like it's almost their view of America.
Yeah, it's like Americana-esque because of that.
But great soundtrack.
Amazing.
Too. Like literally amazing music for that movie.
Oh, okay. I'll check that out. Check out American Honey soundtrack. You said that because there's a, I guess now they're called Lady A. Lady Antebellum. They have a song called American Honey.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if it was used in the, it would be a bit on the nose, but you never know. Okay, the third one.
The third one is Twilight, low key.
We just talked about Twilight in the episode before this.
I love that.
Yeah, we played a game, and
it's literally, unfortunately,
it's one of the most influential works of literature we have. Actually, it's true.
But I know the first movie has such a special place in my heart, as it is the most like indie and weird of all of them, like before they knew what it was going to become. And like then it becomes all blockbuster and kind of plain, kind of boring. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Twilight, your blue screen over everything.
Your blue screen.
The one-liners.
Oh my gosh. Like, just the staring alone. Yeah. I didn't watch it until recently. I refused. Really? I would not do it. I read the books and then I was like, okay, cool. I saw the casting list. I said this last episode. I saw the casting list. I said, this is not what I imagined in my brain, so I refuse to watch it. That's just how I work.
No, it's literally amazing. It was actually my grandma and her sisters that got me into Twilight.
That's so
like they
cute.
Were reading all the books together, and like whenever they were finished, my grandma would give me her book.
Shout out to your grandma.
So I would read them with them. She was actually the one that sent me the email link to the leaked Midnight Sun chapters. Like way
your
back
grandma
in the
was
day.
On it. Also, yeah. So tech savvy. What do you mean? She knew where things leaked. So this, even now today, I have to be like, wait, hold on. How do I?
No,
you know,
literally, I was like, oh my gosh, thanks, grandma. Like
your grandma's a baddie. Shout out.
No, her favorite albums, her like favorite artists are like Ludacris, Lil Wayne. Like she's kind of
she wasn't a regular grandma. She was a cool grandma.
No, literally, that's her.
Yeah. No, she sounds super cool. Okay.
And then TV shows.
Yes.
We've got kind of two different options for TV shows where it's like ones that I could just watch over and over again versus ones that I think are actually good.
Do your comfort ones.
My comfort ones. Okay. Degrassi.
Okay.
I love First Degrassi. Catfish, the TV show.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yes. I have probably watched every single season.
That's crazy.
Three times over.
My God. A fat Kelly Price.
Iconic. And Gossip Girl. I love Gossip Girl.
It was actually a perfect show.
Actually perfect show.
Yes.
We've got food.
No.
Like cuisines.
No.
No.
Leave that alone.
Oh my gosh, you're like, I can't get into it.
Not for them. Actually, I would do like a whole segment on food one day.
Yeah.
I feel like that'd be cool.
And then finally, we've got books. Some recommendations. So I'll go for my like other ones because like Middlesex and Colors, like those are my like those are top books, top tier books.
Okay.
Some other ones that I really like are, let's see, The Bean Trees by Barbara Kingsolver.
Okay.
It was one of the few books we read in school that I was like, whoa.
Oh, we didn't read that.
Yeah, it was like...
Was it a short story or like a regular novel?
No, it was a regular novel. I think there's like a sequel to it too.
Okay. The Bean Trees. And then one last one. And then one last one, yeah.
Let's see. Which one is something I think people should read? That are like,
you're like,
yes.
Read it.
Oh my gosh. Because you mentioned book series. I'm like, oh, I feel like I read one-offs more often. But one of my favorite book series is the His Dark Materials trilogy by Philip Pullman. It's like The Golden Compass,
yes,
The Amber Spyglass, and
yes,
it's the something, The Subtle Knife, I think it's like the last one or something like that. That,
you know, I never read it.
I think you should.
But I meant to. It's definitely like it was something where I was like, oh yeah, mental note, because I refuse to have an actual physical list of books I mean to read. Terrible, because I forget all the time.
Like that's one of the ones where it's like it's a children's novel, but yes, like there's so much about like religion and morality and fate that you're like, this is dark as shit. Like Philip Pullman really said, fuck them kids, because he puts them through it.
Let's put them in a crisis. I feel like the Alchemist series and then like A City of Ember. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Those were also like very heavy topic for like children. Books,
yeah,
like looking back I'm like, oh, this is like we're talking about the structure of like society and like morality and stuff.
Yeah,
but again, that's necessary,
but
that's
necessary.
Important.
Yeah, it's important. And like I remember reading that, like my local library when I was like in fifth or sixth grade had like the omnibus version, so it was all three books in one. So
that's
it was
so
like
cool.
900 pages, and I remember I checked it out from my library and I brought it to school and my teachers were like, what the fuck,
are you okay?
Are you okay? I'm like, yeah. No, we
incidentally no, unrelated though. Yeah. Okay. That's
literally amazing. Yeah. Really amazing.
Cool. Okay. I will write all of these down on the list on the YouTube link, which you should subscribe to. Mm-hmm. Are You New Pod on YouTube, on social media, on Instagram, TikTok. And you can, I guess, follow me personally at Kalki_- Ijamo on Instagram. Don't worry about my personal TikTok. And you can find Skylar at, what's your socials?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So my Instagram handle is at Stellar.
At Stellar.
S-T-E-L-L-A-R.
Yes.
.pm, because I was in London once and I told him my name was Skylar and he didn't hear me at all. So he wrote Stellar. And that's been my username ever
since. It's a great one. Stellar, yeah. PM.
I don't know. I don't really do TikTok, but you can find me on Instagram.
Thank you guys for listening. Again, subscribe, listen, rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, comment, interact. Yay. Thank y'all.
Thank you. No, thanks for having me.